to the open public input. And we have two individuals, so I'll call you both up, Frank and Stan. And sounds like a comedy team almost, Frank and Stan. You guys are well versed in what to do and how to do it. So, Frank, we'll kick it off with you.
Thank you, sir. Chairman Smith, members of the commission, and the acting director Storr, I'm Frank Ehrbeck, sport fishing advocate, here today seeking your action on two recreational salmon fishing issues that were brought to your attention back in on October 27th at the commission meeting then. I first asked that you encourage, if not direct, the Fish and Wildlife Department to engage again with the Skokomish Indian Tribe to discuss the state of Washington allowing with or without tribal concurrence at least some sport fishing opportunity this August for Chinook salmon fishing in the Skokomish River based on the proposal contained in the Coastal Conservation Association May 3rd letter, which you have received. The last time we fished that river was 2015. It is my understanding that Ron Warren, Deputy Director for Fish Programs, may be considering an attempt to restore a recreational river fishery this August using ESA Wild Chinook, Wild Skokomish River Chinook impacts from other sport fisheries. As you are well aware, the public has been very unhappy, and you've heard that from a number of sources, including myself, with the department's unsuccessful, at this point, performance since it voluntarily stopped the recreational fishery in 2016 when challenged by the Skokomish tribe over ownership of the river bottom. At a February 21 meeting in Bremerton, we were led to believe by Mr. Warren, supported by the Attorney General's office lawyer, Mike Grossman, that through the North of Falcon process, 2018 would be different. This was covered in a Kitsap Sun article that you've all seen. A subsequent article by the same reporter published in April quoted the tribal chair, Guy Miller, as willing to meet with sport fishing advocates in response to my letter to him. So far, I've not been contacted. This situation has been discussed with several members of the commission, and we ask you to take action to let's try to get something through, even if it's only a few days, but it's very important to do that. The second unresolved issue is the in-season management of Baker sockeye harvest, one of the three Baker sockeye issues we brought to your attention on the 27th of October. Improving preseason forecasting has been addressed, and we're pleased with that result. It was a combined effort of the tribal experts and the department's experts, and we feel that that should make some difference. The terms of the controversial transfers of Baker sockeye eyed eggs to the Skokomish Tribal Saltwater Park facility on Hood Canal are being covered, and we insisted there'd be some record, not just a document that was produced and that only in the minds of those that were participating would there be any understanding. So I think we've got an agreement that it'll be covered and be public accessible in the future broodstock document process that's underway. The flawed in-season management was only partially addressed by the department, which concluded technical improvements were not possible for in-season updating. My last comment here is that the Roger Gooden, the president of the North Sound...
Timer doesn't work. Sorry.
What's that?
My other timer didn't work, so you got the cell phone timer.
Okay. Anyway, my last point, I only got 5 seconds left, so it looks like we don't have a lot of people. Anyway, Roger Gooden, the president of the North Sound CCA chapter, in his June 12th letter to you, which I know some of you have seen, and covered other possible management actions. I strongly support Mr. Gooden's request that you direct the department to engage with the Skagit Basin tribes this coming week to improve in-season management. I've been talking to staff. And my understanding, the department feels it needs some guidance from the commission in order to have further discussions. And I think we need to have them now and not wait till you're into that early July when we have the problems of last year. Thank you.
On those two items, Joe, Amy, Ron, could you address those and give us some sense of progress or anticipated progress? The Skok pretty clear-cut case. The Baker Lake sockeye issue is, I think the timing of it is a little more pressing because of, in a different way, because the run size is coming in early this year, so would appreciate some feedback on that.
So there were two pieces that Frank identified. One was the preseason modeling, which we improved, and the second piece that we haven't figured out a technical solution for is the in-season adjustments. And the reason for that is that as you probably know, the fish, the traps are 2 weeks up the river, and so it makes it pretty hard to. We just haven't found a technical solution to it. Ron, do you want to weigh in on sort of other options? There were other things discussed that were not politically viable. We talked about creating a buffer. That didn't seem to be a great idea. I don't know if we have anything else that's sort of off the shelf to try at this moment. Ron?
Can I speak to that?
Let's let Ron respond real quick.
Vice Chair Carpenter and Deputy Director Windrup, thank you. Ron Warren, Fish Program. Staff are continuing to work on the ISU, the in-season update model. Our difficulty because of the runs like that, and certainly Mr. Yerbeck has been involved and knows this, that we continue to try to make those improvements. We continue to talk to co-managers. The difficulty is that there's no high level of certainty on the update model until you hit about the halfway point. Same thing is in place where we get to count fish through the Bonneville Dam, that until you hit the halfway point, you don't have any high degree of certainty. And the halfway point, because the fish are up so high at the dam, doesn't give us a lot of option because it becomes so late in the season. That is not a prohibitive process from continuing to try to make improvements. We are doing that. Aaron Defoe and Marissa Litz both are working with co-managers and are doing a great job. We'll stay in touch with Mr. Yerbeck and continue to try to improve our precision in that fishery as we move forward.
If I may follow up, that particular fishery is critically important to the tribes economically and culturally. There's no question about that. But it is a real grassroots economic driver for a rural, depressed community up in the Skagit Basin. And I would sure appreciate, Ron, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I would sure appreciate an effort put forward, you know, to try and accomplish something. And I think that would be very, very meaningful to the local community.
Vice Chair Carpenter, thank you. And we, like I mentioned, we will continue to try to make progress and get something in place that's meaningful as soon as we can.
Thanks, Ron, and thank you, Frank, for coming. Commissioner Carpenter indicated that so far it appears that the run timing is a little bit earlier than forecasted or the typical run timing. So if that's true, if that continues to play out, does that alleviate some of the in-season management difficulties in terms of getting share, or does it not matter? Run timing, I guess.
Commissioner Kehoe, thank you. Run timing always is a concern, and we're watching that closely. Our first test fishery, the average for the first day of test fishery has been 0.5, half a fish on average. We got a fish this year, so run size has doubled, right? So half a fish to one fish, so I'm kidding, of course. But no, we're watching the run timing. It will play if it's a significant shift, and we're monitoring not only anything that returns to the Baker trap where we see and handle fish, but as the tribe co-manager test fisheries occur and fisheries occur, we will be working closely with them to monitor the progress and the timing of the fishery so that we can take appropriate actions if needed.
I'm just going to make a comment. I've been involved with sockeye management on the Fraser for more than 20 years now, and there's one thing that I take away from that is that's when you think you figured out what the fish are going to do, they do something completely different. And I'm not sure if that is also true with respect to the Baker, but Baker sockeye, but certainly for the Fraser.
Thank you, Mr.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the testimony this morning. With regard to the Skokomish Chinook issue, we're aware that the numbers in terms of catch sharing and surplus fish from the state-funded hatchery are, well, frankly, pretty gaudy. So we also understand that there has been some activity, and so maybe without going into any details of negotiation, I wondered if the director or someone could say a few words about whether or not efforts are active or whether this has just been dropped through the cracks.
It's Commissioner McIsaac, thank you. It's far from dropped. We believe we have a meeting scheduled for the 2nd of July with a significant number of leaders from the Skok tribe, and then we have a number of discussions going on behind the scenes about, you know, what that meeting might lead to, and thinking hard about how we get a fishery in there this year. So,
Frank.
Yeah, just to follow up, and it's not really quite a rebuttal, but kind of, I've had long discussions, exchanged emails, reviewed a lot of technical data with Aaron, and have a good understanding of what's going on. And as we mentioned, I think was mentioned in that letter, Roger's letter, that if we can move that up, it's a case of how much certainty. If the tribes want 100% certainty that we're at the 50% point, then you wait longer and longer, and then you get into the troubles, and then you have the imbalance. And it seemed to me that what I was asking for, and I hope I got the commitment today, is that not that the department will engage now with the tribe to have some further discussions now with regard to that issue of when you take a number and try to take it as a best guess, because they start doing that and then they just kind of see what happens. I've looked at the data. And so we're saying is let's take some risk, because the tribe can certainly get its fish, and all three tribes have put in the loaf a provision for taking fish out of the trap. So it's not like they haven't. They prefer, especially the Swinonomish, to taking it through the gill nets, but they can take up the makeup fish, and it might be 5%. It may not be politically popular, but it's a way of getting there. And all I'm asking is that the department engage now in that discussion with the tribes, and hopefully we have a situation that works better. You're not going to get the model improved. We understand that. But there are things you can do, and Amy and I have had this discussion before. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Understand.
My name is Stan Bartle, and I have hunted and fished in the state of Washington for over 60 years. And I'm asking the board and WDFW to open a fishery this year, whether the Skokomish tribe approves or not. And there's been surpluses the last 2 years that there's been no fishery for Fall Chinook. There was a 26,000 surplus at the George Adams hatchery the first year. Last year was a record year, over 30,000 surplus Fall Chinooks that we lost an opportunity to fish on the river. And I know that the Skokomish tribe is saying that they own the river. They do not own the river. You had a game warden by the name of Al Rasmussen in 1978 or 1979 that challenged it. Since then, he has passed away. He lived up in Squim, Washington. I looked him up. His wife isn't there anymore. But he won the case. That is a navigable river waterway, high-low tide, high-low flood. And the Skokomish Indians have not been very good. They're tough to deal with. They put a bunch in the last year that we fished on the river, they put 292 stakes, chemically treated posts, into the water. They did not file federal laws and rules with the Army Corps of Engineers. They ruined our fishery. The only thing I can see that they put them in the river was to ruin our fishery. When you hook a fish, they wrap around it. If it's shallow water, you can walk around the pole. If it's deep water, you can't do it. You've lost the fish, a legal hooked fish. You've lost it. And they don't care about life, limb, and safety of our people that go up and down the river. And if they don't care about that, then they really aren't a tribe that cares about anything except what they can take and what they can get. At the Hoodsport Hatchery, for over 4 years, their agreement was they were supposed to check with the hatchery to get, the hatchery is supposed to get broodstock, and then they could beach seine. For 4 years solid, they netted everything that was in that hatchery, and WDFW had to get their broodstock to maintain the hatchery at Hoodsport from the George Adams hatchery. They are not a tribe that cares about anything but what they want. And I am a Cherokee Indian, and I think I have the right to address that issue. I'm not prejudiced. I'm just saying that they push and do everything they can to stop our fishery. And the only reason they don't want our fishery is because they are breaking their rules and agreement every day that I was on the river. They do not follow rules. They do not do what they should do. And I would just like to have the fishery. I've checked with every federal agency, enforcement agency, including the Department of Justice, every state agency with enforcement, and every one of them say they do not own the river. So if they don't own the river and we've lost 2 years of record fisheries, we need to open it whether they like it or not. And I know you have no reason to believe that I've checked with these enforcement agency. Why would you believe me? I am a Cherokee Indian, and I will be the first one down there if you give me a season to get to push the Skokes to try to do something to stop me from fishing. I will take it all the way.
Thank you, Stan. And the buzzer did, or whatever that's called today, different things?
Yeah.
Is this like every time?
We'll get it fixed.
I'm sorry if I took too much time.
No, it's not your fault. On the spikes, did we know about that in the river? And you, by chemically treated, you're talking about creosote?
They're treated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bartles and I know Ron have discussed this a number of times, and I believe we were aware of those, and that could be part of the discussion. So.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And that brings the end of the open public